Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. If it's a Wednesday, you know what we're doing. We're talking college football, but specifically with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com, and that is what we just did. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Anthony Dasher going to be here talking UGA football from, well, appropriately enough, UGAfootball.com. So that's where Anthony Dasher is. Also, Kentucky Sports Radio, the founder of that is going to be Matt Jones, bottom of this hour. I hadn't talked to Matt in a while. I believe we had him as a guest, but it was a day that Dan was in. So I hadn't talked to Matt in a minute. So looking forward to that as well. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, the first thing is not going to be a headline. It's just in general about what's going on with Pro Days. There are some eye-popping numbers coming out, and you'll see these out on Twitter. Justin Fields yesterday, I got to actually watch the video. I got a little inspired because when he got down in that sprinter's start to do his 40, I saw like a little tiny roll of something. It could have been an ab or a rib, but I'm going to say it was a fat roll like me. So Justin Fields is human apparently. Now, then he's not very human because, I mean, I bet he's going to be playing at 230 in the NFL. And he was smoking on the 40 again, and it registered as a 4.4. Wait until you see the official times, and then whatever, as Chris Landry was telling us, the different surfaces, fast track, slow track, wind aided, whatever it is. So you'll see a lot of interesting times. In fact, Jim Nagy from Senior Bowl, I saw he actually tweeted out the Ja'Marr Chase number that I saw and was so impressed by. But until you see the boil down and it's the official height, the official weight, and then some of the other numbers, they'll get your attention and they'll get you in the ballpark. But if you see a 4.29 and then you're, well, no, wait a minute, 4.36, go with the latter number. So you'll see a lot of those. Headline, Georgia and Louisville schedule home and home. They have done that. It's for 2026 and 2027. Georgia continuing to bulk up non-conference even more. And they've done a really stout job of this. It was Damon Evans, if you go back about 15 years ago, said, let's travel out west some. They had a game at Arizona State, home and home. They had a game with the Colorado Buffaloes. Big deal was Georgia lost that, I think, on a fumble. Maybe Caleb King got hit and fumbled the ball. A.J. Green had an amazing catch in the back of the end zone. I think it was his first game back from the suspension. Big story was when, remember, Colorado came to Athens and they brought Ralphie with them, brought the Buffalo with them. So Georgia started, you know, kind of played at Oklahoma State about a decade and a half ago, but recently and for years coming up, like they opened with Clemson this year, and that's not an unusual series, but Clemson, Oregon. I don't know if I've ever seen Georgia play Oregon. I don't know if they ever have. In fact, let me take that back. I know I haven't seen Georgia play Oregon. I don't know if that game's – I've seen Georgia play Texas. UCLA, Florida State, Oklahoma, Ohio State. This is all big deals, folks. And they add Louisville as well. We don't have a lot of time left. I'm running through my music. One final headline then, and this is proof of all the money that's in college football right now, at least for the coaches. Remember the story? John Chavis was coaching an eighth grade team in Knoxville. There's a story. There's a reason. He didn't just like start knocking on doors and the only place that would take him. That wasn't the story. But he also didn't have to work, not for a paycheck. Headline. Former Arkansas head coach takes over Allen High School program. Chad Morris is the new coach at Allen High School. Now, isn't that the one with the like 60,000 seat stadium? And the, yeah. Head coach at Southern Methodist, head coach at Arkansas, OC at Auburn for a season, had been in Clemson with a lot of success. The man knows football, and he's coaching at, I would say, like a junior college level high school program out there. So he can do it. He got paid, and good for him. All right, consider yourself up to date. We're going to break. Come back again. Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. That's next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
UGASports.com. We know folks over there. One of them is our guest today, talking Georgia football, not only spring practice, but pro day, potential transfer. So much going on in Athens with the Bulldogs today. Want to bring on Anthony Dasher. Anthony, how are you today?
Hey, Chuck, I'm doing pretty good.
Let's talk about, first and foremost, a headline we just went over. Georgia already had about as bulked up a non-conference slate, if you go into the next, say, 10 years, as maybe any program in America, bar none. I don't think they needed to bulk it up even more, but they did. They got a home-and-home with Louisville. What's the story there?
This is actually a series, you know, they talked about, gosh, about 6-7 years ago, I think it was, that, you know, both teams had to for whatever reason, decided to go another direction. But, yeah, this is just another example of Georgia just wanting to beef up the schedule. Because I think in the back of everybody's mind, they think that, you know, the playoffs are eventually going to be expanded. And they won't not going to take any chances of, you know, the committee or whoever saying, you know, hey, Georgia does not play a hard enough non-conference schedule to be considered, even, you know, even with the SEC. They want to make sure that they're good to go as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, Louisville Dogs go to Louisville in 2026, and the Cardinals, you know, return the favor the following year. So another big shoot. I believe that is now 8 Power 5 non-conference schedules that Georgia has scheduled between, you know, starting this year with Clemson and Charlotte and ending in, 2033 with Clemson again. So, but, yeah, so I thought it was a pretty important little deal today.
Follow him on Twitter at Anthony Dasher 1. I know it's him. He got blue check. And you can read him and the whole staff there, the whole crew at UGASports.com. Let's talk about Georgia wide receivers and injuries. And I said just last Thursday on the air that I can give you great news if you're a Georgia fan, but it comes with an asterisk. The Pickens injury doesn't have to wreck your season as long as nobody else get hurt. Jermaine Burton got hurt, but this is not a season-threatening sort of thing.
Not whatsoever. Yeah, the news came down yesterday afternoon late that I know he had suffered an injury in practice. To the date that George Pickens goes down with ACL, and of course, the first thing everybody is going to think about, oh, no, here's another ACL problem. But that is not the case. From what we understand, it is just a hyperextended knee. It's just going to keep him out, say, 4 to 6 weeks. He'll be, into that period, he'll be 100%. He'll be good to go. So that's a definitely bullet, I think, that Georgia dodged with Jermaine.
So what is the general feeling about the wide receiver crew? And I'm not talking about Kyaris Jackson. Yeah. I'm talking about everybody other than Burton and George Pickens. What's the feel right now in spring?
They still, you can't sugarcoat losing George Pickens. It's not a big deal. It is. But because, like you said earlier, this should not be considered, any kind of death knell for Georgia's offense or to keep them from doing what they want to do offensively this year. They still have, a pretty deep, wide receiver room. Marcus Roseme, Jake Saint, you mentioned Kyaris Jackson. Justin Robinson is a guy that Coach Smart has mentioned a couple of times. Yeah. Has really kind of stepped up a little bit. And Arian Smith, that's the key there. If Arian Smith, who I'm probably safe to say is the fastest player on the team right now, can just kind of get his route right down and become more attuned to the offense. He's got a chance, I think, to make a huge impact. And people also forget about Demetrius Robinson. And I know he has not produced like people predicted he would when he transferred from Cal, but he's still, again, one of the faster guys on the team. And he has good experience. So, losing Pickens is tough, but they still have enough bodies and talented players, I think, that I don't think it's going to hurt Georgia's offense maybe as much as some people may think.
I think we had you on maybe a few weeks ago, and we talked about Darian Kendrick as a potential transfer. We won't talk about him. Is it Tyke Smith coming from West Virginia somewhere?
Tyke Smith, West Virginia. There's definitely a little more buzz about him than it was his former teammate who wound up at Auburn. So that's one I think definitely need to keep an eye on. I mean, Coach Smart is mentioned again that he will not be shy. If they can find a player that can make them a better team at a position of need, they would go and try to get him. And then cornerback, I think it's a position of need just because of the youth, all the youth that's back there. Not really a whole lot of experience for Coach Smart to draw on this year. So if they can get him to come in, I think it would definitely be a big boost for that secondary.
Yeah, and he's listed as a safety, but, I mean, that doesn't box him into a position. We see people, there's ambiguity everywhere, and he's going to have cover skills. Walk me through right now your five in the secondary, whether it's an extra hybrid star linebacker type or a third corner. Because they hadn't played and maybe they're not experienced and proven talent, but they're talented.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, if you're a believer in stars, you look at all the stars on these guys. I mean, it's a talented group. I mean, it's safe. I think it's safe to say Lewis Seen and Christopher Smith are probably your top two guys there right now. But at corner, you've got Kelly Ringo, who was a five-star, one of the best players in the country, 2 years ago. Had labrum surgery, but we understand he's about as close to 100% as he can get right now. Jalen Kimbrough's another guy, freshman last year, another former four-star. Amir Speed has been around the program, it seems like, forever. He's finally going to get a shot this year. And Nylon Green, true freshman, is coming as an early enrollee and has made an impression. So those are some guys just off the top of my head. I mean, again, it's talent. It's not proven talent. That's going to be the big thing in that first game against Clemson.
And I was really talking about corner there because there are some options that fans may know at safety, and that's one reason that he may not play safety if he shows up in Athens.
Hey, exactly. And like I said, I think Coach Smart would like to have a little more experience at that corner position, just like he was played it. It will not be, won't be shell-shocked, I guess, so to speak, that first game out. So I do think if he does come to Georgia, I think he can, he'll probably get a look at both positions because, again, Georgia has never been shy about cross-training players and really not pigeonholing anyone, defensive back into, say, a right corner, left corner, left safety, right safety, to have all these guys play a bunch of different roles.
I met Adam Anderson when he was getting like a high school player of the month award or something several years ago. And I realized it several years ago because I look up and I'm like, what do you mean he's going to be a senior? How far away from the line of scrimmage are you still comfortable with him playing?
It depends on the down and distance, I think. I mean, I don't know if I want Adam Anderson out there at star. If it's a true passing situation, I think you're going to want somebody maybe a little more quick in the hips. And again, not saying Adam Anderson is not that kind of player, but just not his natural position. But Coach Smart thinks he's going to play a decent amount of star and maybe 50-60% of the time there. And again, that doesn't mean you can't still rush the passer. We've seen Georgia over the past few years, stars will come in on blitzes. So I know a lot of fans that I talk to are they were concerned that somebody going to cut into Adams' third down effectiveness, but that won't be the case at all. But again, I think it's just going to depend on down and distance and how they use him as star and when it comes to sure passing down.
I want to give Kirby so much credit. He shows up, and there are so many either little things or big things that Georgia has kind of set the trend for, like the video, the ribbon board. I mean, there are other examples, recruiting facilities, whatever they're doing. I am really excited to see what a program that's been so proactive in those extra areas for players, what a program like Georgia is going to do with name, image, likeness. Because, by the way, if nobody's been paying attention today, NCAA is getting hammered up in D.C. Yep. And so this is all coming. The state of Georgia, that the House has already passed a measure. I think Georgia is really going to hit this one out of the park.
I do, too. And I think Georgia is, like you said, I think it's ready to hit the ground running as soon as we get some kind of, finality, I guess, on what they'll be able to do, because Georgia's has always been really good about putting the players out first, and I think you'll see guys take advantage of this. And I've said all along, I think players need to be paid in some way, shape, or form, and this is going to give me the opportunity to have that happen.
Well, it's always good stuff, man. I appreciate the conversation, yep. Anthony. Thank you.
We'll do it, yes, sir.
All right, Anthony Dasher again from UGASports.com, and I do draw a comparison. And here's the thing about, my gosh, Dan, do I have to give the disclaimer about Mark Richt before I criticize him?
No, I think at this point you're good.
No, actually, you know what? Dan, you give the disclaimer about Mark Richt. I'm about to criticize Mark Richt. What do I have to say by law before I criticize him?
Oh, an incredibly nice guy. Great man.
He and Tommy Bowden are probably the two best humans I have met in this industry. And I met Tim Tebow. Just a great, great man. You don't have to say that. Everything about Georgia while he was there, we realized, not at the first, and I'm talking like that 02 team, and even like the 04, 05-ish teams. It was a different SEC back then. But Georgia rose to the top. Outside of that, though, actually, you know what? When Greg Blue was flat-footed in the middle of the field staring at Steve Slayton, I think that's when it really ended for, like, Georgia being that program year in and year out, because there's about a five-year run. Like, his first 5 years, you're like, oh. And then they were really, really good with some spikes. So everything about that program, though, was really, really good. Recruiting, really, really good. Eighth or ninth or tenth every year. The extra stuff that I'm talking about, yeah, they did fine when it came to events or recruiting or junior day or dog night or whatever caravan. They're really, really good. There's not a whole lot about that program since Kirby showed up that I would point out and go really, really good. I would go the step above really, really good. And it is everything from that LED light show thing they did before the Notre Dame game. You know, the biggest before the Notre Dame game 2 years back, biggest compliment, their programs all over the SC. I got a phone call. Hey, we need one of those boards. How do we do that? I was like, I don't know. And whether it's been the insistence on the facilities, the recruiting lounge, a little bit of a kind of a look at the fans. And I mean, Kirby wouldn't do this, and it wasn't blatant, and it probably wasn't even intentional, but there is an order here, and recruiting is a little ahead of fans. So it hasn't always been perfectly friendly. And there are a lot of Georgia fans who have an attitude that, at least in part, they're viewed as a human ATM by the athletic department there. There's a good chunk of the fan base, but you know what makes that all okay? Go win. Give me a trophy. Give me some hardware. And so everything about Mark Richt, it was really, really good. And Kirby showed up, and I'll give him credit. He's like, I ain't interested in really, really good. That's a guy who played at Georgia. And you know what? You know Kirby? He was really, really good. Didn't he lead the SEC in interceptions 1 year? Kind of a shorter, not extremely fast defensive back. But he loved the school. You know what they were when Kirby played there? They were really, really good. And then Kirby saw great and was part of great and was partially responsible for great. And he's like, all right, now I'm going home and I'm going to bring some great, not really, really good.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
You know what doesn't happen too often? Head coaches don't stay head coach at Kentucky, at least not football, for 9 seasons. And with a losing season in the rear view, I don't have 1 minute of pause for Mark Stoops and where that program is. Absolutely not in the least. If you look at his record at Kentucky, it was sort of a slow build, but then I think he actually has reached, and I don't want to say a permanent conclusion because everybody wants to win more and titles and represent the East, and we're coming to Atlanta and not just for hoops in March. Absolutely, and all that's real. And if Mark Stoops ever says we're here to win a championship, he means it when he says it. But I think Kentucky has actually reached a level where they're far more than a landmine. I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's real with them because it's on the line of scrimmage, which that's permanence, okay? And it really looks like that, and it's even more than just, well, we want to be bowl eligible. No, this is a real legit threat virtually every Saturday, and enough so that I expect now, I don't know what it is, 8 wins to be have a chance for whatever it is. I don't even want to say the next number there, but that's kind of where he's gotten them to live. So it's not just he's been there 9 years. When was the last time that happened? And I don't know. Maybe Claiborne. But he's 9 seasons, and there's no end in sight, not for him or the university, not as far as I see. I want to welcome on a man who knows a whole lot more about that program than I do from Kentucky Sports. He is Kentucky Sports Radio. It's Matt Jones. Matt, brother, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? I'm sitting here about to walk into the Kentucky Boys Sweet 16. So what better pregame than to be on the Chuck Oliver Show?
Man, that is a historical high school event throughout America. I mean, and I'm being serious about that. I mean, the all-time greats, I'm sure, have played in that tournament. Matt, let's talk about my intro there, how Mark Stoops has built this, and I think it's intentional, from the lines, plural, from the lines out. And that does give you more than just a one-year spike to 7 or 8 wins. It's kind of how you build some permanence.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Back to Sweet 16 for a second. Kentucky's the only state in the country that has a one-class basketball state tournament.
It's still Hoosiers.
Last one left. Well, Indiana doesn't anymore.
No, I'm saying it's still right. Hoosiers, yeah.
Yes, it is. That's exactly right. So that's what makes it cool. On what you said, I agree with you. I mean, Mark Stoops, when he came here, decided to do something I didn't think would work. He said, we're going to compete on the line of scrimmage with all the teams in the SEC, and that's how we're going to win. I thought you kind of had to play gimmick football to win at Kentucky, but Stoops decided to make an offensive line that was solid. And last year it was the number 2 offensive line in the SEC. The defensive line has had Josh Allen. Jamin Davis is a linebacker that's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. I just didn't think that was possible, and it's happened. And you know, what's funny is they've had a lot of success the last few years, and Chuck, they really haven't had a great quarterback yet. I mean, you know, Steven Johnson and Terry Wilson won games, and they were solid, but I don't think anybody would say that they were, like, exceptionally talented. And in years past, when Kentucky's been good, going back to Tim Couch, Jared Lorenzen, Andre Woodson, you had to have a great quarterback, and Kentucky's been good without that. If they can get that quarterback position set, I think they have a chance to really make another big move.
I think after a couple of years back watching Eddie Grant, I mean, he was spinning plates, you know, changing the offense multiple times throughout the season. I thought it was great. Well, he's out now, new play caller. Is there really a new offense? Because that's, I mean, when you, it's hard to do that in 1 year after you have recruited and coached and trained kids with a certain approach. Is there really a new offense?
Yeah, there is. I mean, Liam Cohen comes from the Rams. It's a different offense, a lot more You know, they used to only go out of shotgun. Now they're going out of center a little bit more. He's fortunate that he actually has a roster that fits what he wants to do. I mean, with Terry Wilson being gone, it was a good chance to transition into a new quarterback. He has three quarterbacks, and it's not clear who will win the job. All three of them really have a chance at it. I think Tucky's got a chance. Again, you never know. But I think they have a chance to be really good next year. The schedule lines up for them. They got Tennessee and Florida at home. That's always when the schedule's better. The team from the West is LSU at home, and if you're going to get LSU, this might be the year to do it. So I think Kentucky has a real chance to be where they were a few years ago when they played Georgia for a chance to win the SEC East. I think if they can beat Florida, which will be the test, and the game's in Lexington, they'll have a chance to have that set up again.
A couple more minutes with Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. You know, Joey Gatewood is the guy that everybody, I'm sure everybody knows, the big recruit from Florida. You know, state of Florida, goes to Auburn, boom, he's at Kentucky. But what about Bo Allen? What is possible with him? Because pretty big recruit that Stoops got into the program.
Yeah, great arm. Probably the best arm they've had here since Andre Woodson. He can throw it all over the field. He can move. I think he and Joey Gatewood really are neck and neck for the job. I don't think it's decided who'll get it. And then they also have this transfer from Penn State, Will Levis, who played there. He's not here for the spring, so we haven't gotten to see him. But I think all three of those guys have a shot. This is the most open quarterback battle Kentucky's had in 20 years. And I honestly don't know who win it. I know a lot of your listeners remember Gatewood from Auburn. Yeah. Everybody's always curious. But if you made me guess, I'd say Bo Allen is ahead. But to be quite frank with you, I could see any of the three of them winning it. And it'll probably come down to the last weeks of the summer.
All right. Stats are just – I mean, they're just stats. They don't win because of them. But there was something that kind of surprised me. Somebody asked me about 1,000-yard receivers at Kentucky, and I was like, well, Lynn Bowden, I mean, he's in the league. He's in. It's like, no, because they derailed that when they moved him to quarterback. Randall Cobb, the last – UK 1,000-yard receiver. Now, I don't know what that means, but I think I kind of do, because after that Woodson, Stevie Johnson, Tammy, you know, they had kind of run its course. It's been a different sort of offensive approach there in Lexington, and they have not had a set of flyers on the outside.
They have not. They have not had a really good receiver, really, in Mark Stoops' era. I mean, they've had a – I mean, Lynn Bowden was an amazing athlete, played receiver, but he was, you know, not a traditional receiver. Dorian Baker was talented but had a lot of drops. So they really – you know, again, what has made Stoops so impressive is that they've been successful and really not had great skill position players except at running back. So I think you'll see the best receiving core Kentucky's had this year. They got young guys playing, Tay-Tay Crooms. They brought Josh Ali back. And then, of course, Wandale Robinson, the transfer from Nebraska. I mean, he was the leading yards getter for Nebraska last year. He's coming to Kentucky. I expect him to be the central part of the offense, along with Chris Rodriguez. I think it has a chance to be the best offense Stoops has had since he's been here. And so the question will be, if he can have a good defense, I think they have a chance to be really good.
Last thing I'll let you run. Kentucky has been in the top five in the SEC the past 3 years in scoring defense, and that's cycling like four biggins from the secondary, tall guys, into the NFL. That's Josh Allen, et cetera, and they keep producing over there. Only three or four starters back for this year. Give us a what's possible.
I like the group they have coming back. Josh Pascal, I think, is going to be really good pass rusher. They've still got a lot in the secondary. Most of the guys that are back started in the secondary. You know, the issue is going to be, can some of their young linebackers play well? And, you know, we didn't know that last year, and then all of a sudden Jamin Davis comes from nowhere and ends up a first-round pick. They're going to need somebody to do that, like DeAndre Square, who's going to be at that position. If they can find good help in the middle, especially at the linebacker position, I think they'll be good on defense again. The key is they control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched every game last year, as I'm sure you did, except for Alabama, where they got manhandled. Kentucky basically controlled the line of scrimmage in all the games, and that's really the difference. Now you get some skill position players, they have a chance to make a move.
All right, good stuff, brother. Go watch some hoops. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Matt Jones again, Kentucky Sports Radio. And it's in a limited set, and it's almost like Mark Stoops has said, well, I'm going to take a segment of the program, and this is where and I'm sure if there's a five-star quarterback coming out of, you know, Missouri or Indiana, somewhat close to the program, I'm sure he knocked on a door. I'm sure they sent a postcard. But the emphasis has been the line of scrimmage. It's been crossing into Ohio for recruiting. It's obviously been going down south for some skill players, but honestly, it was sort of like, let's excel at areas where maybe there's a little less of a firefight to get the kid. Five-star quarterback I was mentioning from Indiana or Missouri or anywhere else. I mean, who's recruiting him? Well, everybody. Everybody that you normally aren't going to beat. The five-star quarterback, you know, you're waiting outside, and then, you know, Ryan Day goes in, Nick Saban goes in. It was the way it used to happen. And in a figurative way, it's kind of what Kentucky looks around and says, yeah, we'll try. We'll send him a postcard. We will offer him. We hope we get him. We'll call him and hassle him. But we know we're probably not. So he built it on the lines of scrimmage. Maybe a little more attainable there, because you can't have a program philosophy where you then transform. You see something in a kid that at the moment only results in three stars, and I'm talking about mentality, body size. I mean, it can be tangible or non. It can be tangible, like body type. Like, you know what they call the bubble? Like those Alabama linemen. When they get in the four-point stance, you know what Marcel Darius had? He had that bubble. Well, you develop that, man. You get a kid that you see on Friday nights, and you're like, let's get that kid into the program. And he's going to do squats, and he's going to do leg press, and he's going to do whatever. And then suddenly we got like three kids with the bubble. That's attainable more so than the five-star quarterback, because you know what he already is as a 17-year-old five-star quarterback. So Stoops, it's that phrase I use. He picked a corner to fight out of, and he has done a really good job with it. And he has probably, and the program has probably maximized whatever it can with that approach. That at this point, you know what you need? You need a four-star, five-star quarterback. You need probably a new approach on offense. Like I said, Eddie Grand, he put in three different offenses in 2019. Just unbelievable job he did. And then after last year, both he and Stoops are like, should we continue this? Yeah, probably not. All right, it's cool. Hey, homie hug on my way out the door, all right? It's the friendliest firing I've ever seen in my life. So it's time to take that, I'll say the next step, the final step. Even special teams, kicking and punting. Kentucky does that at a high level. It's explosiveness on offense, the ability to come back if you get down. 24-10 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, game's over. Get over. It has been. Like I said, if you go back in time to the Andre Woodson, Stevie John, that whole Randall Cobb, the whole thing, it was nothing but explosion. And they couldn't play enough defense. I don't know if they get those same caliber of players on the perimeter, the guys that are really flipping fields, getting in the end zone. I don't know if they get those same caliber guys. But at least now there is more of an emphasis there. And do you know why you can shift the emphasis and maybe not? It's not like, well, we've been devoting so much to the offensive line and the trenches, and so when we devote to playmakers, we're going to – you've already built a reputation. You know what Kentucky football does? They put offensive linemen in the league. Couldn't have said that 5 years ago. They were still building to that. You know what they say now? We put offensive linemen in the league. And an offensive lineman, so you get your credit. You get traction with that. Okay, wow, look. Yeah, they do put linemen in the league. So maybe you can keep that and kind of blossom the other parts of the offense, because there ain't been no blossoming going on. No blooming in the least. All right, we're going to break. Wrap up on a Wednesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Necky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I think they're very comfortable with both. I think Miles can run the offense, but I think Max gives them a little bit more. So I think it's Max's job to lose. And, you know, I think that's the way it'll play out.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, and the type of commentary and insight and actually knowledge, I'll say. He's given an opinion, but that's knowledge. Says, yeah, I think that's how it's going to turn out. And we had brought that up with him, talking about the LSU quarterback competition. Miles Brennan and Max Johnson appear to be the two lead dogs there. And I thought, I said before spring practice started that – didn't know how it was going to go because kids still got to go out there. You've got your practices. You've got your three scrimmages. One of them's the game, but you got your three, except for Kentucky. Did I tell you all that? I meant to include, Kentucky ain't having a spring game. They're one of, I think, maybe two SEC schools. They're like, yeah, we're not having a spring game. So at the beginning of practice, I said, I think I know who he wants to win. I think he wants Max Johnson to win. That's too bad because Miles Brennan, I mean, I thought the kid lit it up. And there were some folks who said, oh, it was just the Missouri game. No, he was good the week before that as well. And so you're talking about a kid going into his now, one, two, three, fifth year, 17, 19, fifth year in the program. And I just, it's going to be one of those tough things if the career comes and goes and it all kind of boils down to about three games at the outset of a really weird season. So I hope that's not how it goes for him. But again, that's the same thing as me saying, I hope Max Johnson never gets to play. And obviously I don't think that. I'm looking at this. I'm dropping Miles Brennan into a fishbowl and saying that I think this is going to wind up being a pretty tough outcome for him if he stays at LSU. He's good enough to play, man. He's good enough to start at LSU in the SEC West. He showed it. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. So, again, appreciate Chris Landry coming on. Dan Matthews will be with us in just a minute. Right now, I wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
This is something that I had mentioned. We had actually talked about this a little earlier in the week, actually yesterday with Dave Bartu. And Justin Fields has an opportunity to blaze a new NFL trail in one particular way. I promise you that the team that drafts him is depending on it. No Ohio State quarterback has had NFL success. Ever. No Ohio State has been as good as any college. I'm saying across the breadth of the history of the game. Ohio State is as accomplished. Ohio State, Bama, Notre Dame, I don't know, there's like five that I'll put in and say they're tied for first. That's Ohio State. And what do you mean? Bama's got so many more, you know, national championships. Yeah, and Ohio State's got like 10 Heisman Trophy winners. So whatever. There's different measuring sticks, and maybe they're third. And they've never had a quarterback ever have success on Sundays. Now, if we move past the single wing direct snap sort of stuff where the quarterback's position was listed as capital B, do you know what that was? Back. If you were behind the line of scrimmage, honestly, until like the probably the 40s or maybe early 50s, if you lined up behind the line of scrimmage, all of you were listed as capital B. You were a back. If we move past that, there has never been a former Ohio State quarterback with any measure of NFL success, and I mean not one. Ohio State has been playing football for 131 years. I cannot lay that on Justin Fields. It should, however, make you realize that we have felt great about OSU quarterbacks entering the draft before, and then it's a total flop at the next level. There are examples of Buckeye signal callers that fit that, just like at every single school, even the Blue Bloods. Well, Chuck, what about the Notre Dame and Bama and Texas? Yes, absolutely. at every school, there is a quarterback who's entered the NFL draft, maybe as a first-round pick, maybe first overall pick. Huge advance billing, and the kid just couldn't play. Every school has that. Why are you picking on us? Because every school also has an exception. And Ohio State doesn't. It should make you realize that no matter how great you feel about a quarterback, you just don't know, because you can't be a better program and achieve more. And they've done it without a single guy, not one, in their history to achieve on Sundays. It absolutely will blow your mind when you go back and look at the history of it. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. No matter where you are in the Deep South, Florida, Georgia, Bama, Tennessee, wherever, you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Dan.
I'll never forget a few years ago going to watch my cousin who played high school for West Orange Stark there in Southeast Texas. And they played against Corpus Christi Calhoun, who at the time was one of the best in the state of Texas. And I remember on their roster, they had a WB next to someone's name. And I'm like, what does WB stand for?
Wingback?
Wingback.
Wingback, yeah.
Yeah, that's what that reminds me of right there. And that was kind of the cross-section of my time, too, in high school. Is, I mean, there was a time there in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, where everybody was running some form of the triple option. And then it wasn't until that guy up in Lubbock started throwing the football around, and they yep. said, huh, that works. Yeah, you got that quarterback from New Braunfels, Texas, that's now up there, and he's able to do some things. So it's funny how the game transforms when somebody seemingly has a great idea. Chuck, something that I think is kind of an indictment on Dan Mullen and more of the Florida football program and kind of the expectations, and the first part's not his fault. This was forwarded to me by a buddy of mine that the NFL Network little cryon, which if you don't know, if you're watching TV, it's the lower, hey, it's Dan Mullen, and then a little piece yeah. of information about him. Well, the little piece of information about him was 8-plus wins the last three seasons at Florida. And immediately when I see that, I'm like, that's unacceptable if I'm a Florida fan. That is the moniker for you. That, I mean, and let's be honest here. It's probably some producer out in Los Angeles at NFL Network. Hey, you know, they've gone 9-3 and, you know, 10-3 and all these different records these last few years. Yeah, exactly. Where I think you probably would be better off of his reputation with quarterbacks, but nonetheless. But then it's also kind of one of those things that it's like you kind of get what you want. And in this case, I believe that Florida right now, it's one of the things that you're looking at Dan Mullen and you're saying, all right, he can develop. All right, he probably wins games that he's not supposed to, because there are some teams, even within our own division, who recruit better than us that he is able to, at least this past year, finally get over and beat. But then it's also the question of what happens once that stops happening with such a regular basis and he loses a couple of games that he's not supposed to. And then it's also, too, the recruiting picks up at Florida State or it picks up at Miami.
It's going
to
get more difficult.
And the thing is that loss total starts to creep up just a little bit more. Chuck, that's quickly going to become, Dan, I thought that you develop. Dan, I thought that you win ball games. Dan, why are we losing to Georgia and everybody else every single year? That's where the slippery slope kind of comes in when you look at a thing like that on the cryon and say, yeah, hey, 8-plus wins every single season. It should be 10 and no less at Florida.
I'm guessing that was actually – because it comes from two places. Whenever you have a coach interview lined up, the SID or an assistant will, like, send you some talking points and some little bullets, you know. But then sometimes it's just a production associate who does it on his or her own, so – good stuff today, folks. Appreciate everybody joining in. Be back 22 hours from now with more.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.